Wow, is it something I said? Walking out. I'm sure most of you heard about this already, but I'll just read it anyways. In River Falls, Wisconsin, July 20th, 2017, this Three Square Market is offering implanted chip technology to all their employees on August 1st, 2017. Employees will be implanted with an RFID chip, allowing them to make purchases in their break room micro market, open doors, log in computers, use the copy machine. This program offered to 32M is optional for all employees. The company is expecting over 50 staff members to be voluntarily chipped. 32M is partnering with Biohacks International and Johan Osterlund, based out of Sweden. RFID technology, radio frequency identification, uses electromagnetic field, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so a chip is implanted between the thumb and forefinger underneath the skin within seconds. Coming fast. Micro market, also known as a break room market, has become a staple in the U.S. within 20,000 locations and growing. While in existence for over a decade in the American workplace, the international community began to embrace this only a few years ago. A micro market is a mini convenience store located right in the employee break room using self-checkout kiosks, similar to what you found in many major retailers. Businesses see multiple benefits when adding a micro market to their location, such as increased employee morale and productivity. 32M is growing in C. Let's see. We foresee the use of RFID technology to drive everything from making purchases in our office break room market, opening doors, use of copy machines, logging into our office computers, unlocking phones, sharing business cards, storing medical health information, and used as payment at other RFID terminals. Eventually, this technology will become standardized, allowing you to use this as your passport, public transit, all purchasing opportunities, etc. Commented 32M CEO Todd Westby. Watch out for guys named Todd.
They're going to start putting chips in hands. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
About that. So here's 32M has grown to over 2,000 kiosks in operation in nearly 20 different countries. Plus, it operates over 6,000 kiosks in its corrections industry business. Turnkey corrections. That's at our place. We got that. So it's just a matter of time before they start using inmates for guinea pigs, I imagine, and saying, here, put this in your hand instead of carrying that card. You'll never lose your card. So, it's coming. So, keep looking to the east. Some beautiful sunrises lately. So, let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Interesting story behind this sermon or message, whatever it is, but I hope it's a blessing to you. Genesis chapter 6. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Speak through me. Bless your message in your name. Amen. All right. Title of this is Four Trees. Four Trees. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 9. You may have never heard this story before, but these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. really interesting story here. You know, we all know the story of Noah and the ark and what all happened there. But what caught my eye on this, it was kind of interesting. I was reading it through again, and I came across gopher wood. And I'm like, gopher wood, what is this? You know, what kind of tree is this? And you type gopher wood on the internet, Google it, and it'll come up in most places. Will say this is an unknown tree. Unknown to anybody, but it's mentioned, and it'll say it's mentioned in the King James Bible. That's interesting to me. So, gopher wood. So, I picture this, I see right around 4000 BC, I say God's up there, and just a few days before 4000 BC, just before they had New Year's Eve on 4000 BC, God's up in heaven and he's creating a universe, you know, just in his spare time. And he looks down and he puts this grove, or in this case, probably a forest, of these certain kind of trees. And he put them in this certain spot for a certain reason. And he put them there because nobody knows where the gopher wood. What is that? And then you got certain other Bibles that will put different types of trees in there. Oh, that's a cypress tree. Or, you know, how do you know that? No, he said gopher wood. So God made this spot on earth with this grove of trees that's unknown to anyone today. It's a rare form of wood, a rare form of tree. And it's nowhere today. It's almost like he had something in mind when he made this. Specific purpose. It's only in the King James Bible. So here's Noah out there, and God says, okay, make this ark. You know, you got to build this boat, and it's going to rain. And I know you don't know what rain is, but trust me in this one. You're going to want to build this boat, and it's going to want to be big. Anybody ever seen that ark down in Kentucky? That one that Ken Ham built? I've just seen pictures. That's a pretty amazing thing. But anyways, that was a side note. But anyway, so here's this grove of trees that nobody knows of today. Nobody's ever seen it. Nobody's heard of it. And he says, make it out of gopher wood. So here's Noah standing around going, okay, gopher wood. Okay, I know that's a pine. I know that's an oak. No, that's... It must be I don't know what these are, so this might be what gopher wood is. So he makes the ark, and this ark is just, you know, people are making fun of it. Probably, you know, this is just me thinking, okay, so bear with me. The trees were so unusual, probably the other trees in the forest were making fun of them, you know. Right? Because nobody's ever seen, what are you guys, who are you? What are you doing in this forest? And, you know, just like the people were making fun of Noah. What are you doing building a boat? What? A boat? Really? What for what? Rain? What's rain? So anyway, they build the boat, and God shuts the door, and nobody can get in. God's in charge. God made that boat to make a picture of salvation. It rains for 40 days and 40 nights. And the great deep is opened up, and all this water comes. I just can't imagine how it was just pouring out of the sky. And those trees, that special tree, gopher wood, raised 8 souls up out of sure destruction unto salvation. Isn't that amazing? He made that tree in that area, and it doesn't exist anymore, just for that ark. I find that amazing. Let's go to the second one. Let's go over to Luke chapter 19. That's the first tree. The gopher wood. Luke chapter 19. Another story that might not be very familiar to you, but Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and was rich. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before it and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So here we are, here's God up in heaven about 4,000 BC, a couple days before the new year. And he's looking down and he says, you know what? I'm going to put a sycamore tree right there in that spot for a specific purpose. And one day he sent his son to die on the cross, or he sent his son down to earth. And he comes and he's walking through. He comes into Jericho. Isn't this a pretty picture? Jericho, a city that was total sinful and degradation, that was conquered by God before the walls fell down and it killed everybody inside of it. And now it's going to be a scene of something brand new. Christ can make it new. Christ can come into something old and destroyed and wicked and beat up and make it brand new. Isn't that a blessing? What a God we serve. What a blessing. So here he goes, and he sees that he puts that tree right in that specific spot. And it says in that sycamore trees were often placed by roadsides so that sightseers could get up in them and see. Amazing. And this was all thought out 4,000 years before this took place, or thereabouts. So here we go, and God. So here comes Christ. He's walking into Jericho, the city. I'm sure he's having memories of the day he told, just march around it 7 times, you know, or once every day for 7 days, and then the seventh day march around 7 times, blow the horns, knock the walls down. I'm sure he's going through. Remember this? He's probably reminiscing of the day he helped Joshua conquer this city, and now it's a brand new place. And he's walking in, and he's crowded in. He's pressed in. All these people are around him, and he can't really see. And then it says, this is kind of interesting, verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, I picture Christ walking down the road in Jericho, coming down, and he goes, this is where I put that sycamore tree. Hey, Zacchaeus, you want to come down? I'm gonna go to your house today. It was a special place. He knew. He put it there for a purpose. He put it there for a specific purpose in that spot, thousands of years prior, because he knew there was going to be a man there that day that was going to need to be lifted up to salvation. Just like the ark. Gopher Woody was put that forest there for that specific day, that specific spot, when 8 souls were raised up out of destruction into salvation. The sycamore tree, short little dude, waddles up there, climbs up in the tree. I need to go to your house today. And because of that, he was saved. It was raised up to salvation. That's the second tree. Let's go to the third. This is going really fast. Go to number 3. Go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 29.
When they had played it a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. And a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come upon a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon a vesture did they cast lots." So I picture this. One day, about 4,000 B.C., God's looking down, creating this universe, puts that grove of trees out there for Noah to build his ark, puts that sycamore tree in right by that certain spot in the road where Zacchaeus was going to be, where God was going to be, where Jesus Christ was going to walk that one day. And he sees a spot outside of Jerusalem, in a little forest there, probably a little grove. And he plants this tree. And one day they go out, the Roman soldiers go out and cut these trees down, or probably not the soldiers, but whoever they had cutting trees down, the Roman lumberjacks. And they go out there and they cut this tree down. And they make it into a cross. A thing of torture for those days. Death. And they get it ready, you know, they probably just take it and throw it off in a pile full of crosses because they're probably killing people every day for doing something stupid. But that day, 4,000, he put that tree in that spot for a specific purpose. And this is just me thinking again. When they took the beaten, whipped body of Christ and they spit on, beaten, and just who knows what all, kicked and whipped and bloody and just shredded. And they laid it on that cross. I think of that tree going, not the Creator. I don't want the Creator. That's the Creator. I want him on me. And Jesus, all beaten and bloody, and bruised and whipped and shredded, just kind of goes, "It's going to be okay." It's not in the Bible, but just thinking about it. And they took that cross and they raised it up for salvation for the whole world. Just like the ark was raised up, the gopher wood was put there for a reason, and it raised 8 souls up for salvation. And the sycamore tree was put by that road so a little short guy could run along the road and climb up in it and see Christ and get saved. A certain tree was planted in that place outside of Jerusalem, and it was cut down and made into a cross, and they nailed the Son of God to it, and he was raised up on that tree for salvation for all of us, for the whole world. Aren't trees amazing? Everything here has its purpose. Everything has its purpose. Well, let's take a look at the last tree. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 1.
Psalm 1 and Proverbs 11. I'm going to get out of here early tonight. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Then over in Proverbs chapter 11, I don't even have it. Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. A tree of life. The fourth tree. We got the gopher wood. Raised 8 souls up to salvation. We got the sycamore tree that raised up Zacchaeus. And he got saved. We got the Son of God who was raised up for the whole world to be saved. And receive salvation from hell and from death and eternity, separated from God. And now we have a tree of life. 1993. God put me. I got saved in 1993. When did you get saved, Eric? What year did you get saved? Do you remember? 2010? Jonathan, when did you get saved? 2000? Aaron, do you remember? I know you're old now, but... 99? In 99, 2000, 2010, God planted a tree of life wherever you are right now. A specific spot for a specific purpose. And your purpose is to raise up Christ to draw others to salvation. You're supposed to be a tree of life. You're supposed to be meditating in the Word of God. You're supposed to be just honing in on what does it say there? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This world is a mess. It's just a mess. They don't want anything to do with God at all. Nothing to do with Jesus Christ except as a swear word. That's it. But when they face these troubles in life and these problems in life, we had this meeting at my work after that Philando Castile trial. And they want, after the verdict was read, I hate to say it, but it didn't bother me that much, you know, but evidently it affected a lot of people at my work, so they wanted to have a meeting to discuss their feelings. And they asked if I wanted to go. I said, sure, I'll go. And they went around, you know, there's probably about 35 people that showed up to this thing. And they're all, you know, it's just, it was hard to listen to because there was a lot of anger and there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of lies, fabrication, and, you know, saying, you know, if that was a white family, it would have been different. You don't know that. You don't know it. You know, we could go on and on. And I'm not saying this to bring attention, but it got around to me and I said, you know, I was surprised by the verdict. I thought something would happen to the guy, but it got around, and I said, you know what? I watched the video. It didn't really affect me. I said, but I watched the video of what happened. And I said, it really bothered me to see a man lose his life right in front of me. And I said, I'm sure that man didn't go out the door that morning saying this is going to be my last day on earth. And I said, that could have been any one of us in this room today. It could have been any one of us that could have been in that car. None of us know what happened in that car. We don't know why he shot. We don't know what happened in there. But that man lost his life. And he went off into eternity. Are you ready for that? Are you in this room? Are you ready for that? And they didn't want to hear that. They just went on to the next thing. But we need to stay focused on what Christ has for us. And every time we get disgruntled at work, every time we have a bad day at work, every time the boss is just on me about something, or I just get disgusted with my job, we got to realize that God, 4,000 years ago, or 6,000 years ago, planted you. He said, I'm going to put a tree right in that spot for a specific purpose. A tree of life to shine the light of salvation unto the lost souls that are going to be looking for something that's right, looking for something that's good, something that's never flustered by the heat, something that's never flustered by the cold of winter, something that's never flustered by what comes down the road. They always seem to have a calm, solid foundation. And wherever you are today, the day you got saved, God said, I have another tree of life, and I want you planted right here. Because you are going to raise people up to salvation. You're going to tell them about Christ, and they're going to see a difference. Granted, it doesn't happen much today because people don't want to hear it. And there's a lot of confusion in churches. I could see somebody at that meeting saying, oh, maybe there is something to this Christianity, and they go online and all they see is the same things they saw in the meeting. Anger, confusion, confrontation, you know, all the stuff. And it's like, but there's got to be something different with us. We got to stick out. Come out from among them and be separate. They got to look and say, yeah, this guy says he's a Christian, but he lives just like us. That guy, he does the same things we do. But that guy or that gal, there's something different about that. They said they're a Christian, but there's something different about that. I want to know about that. And they look and they see a tree of life. And they come up and say, hey, what's going on? And you just tell them about salvation. You can tell them about Christ and when he died on the cross, when he died on a tree. And what he did for them. And be a tree of life in wherever God has planted you. Wherever. It's amazing how you look through the Bible and he did things on purpose. The gopher wood, the sycamore tree, the cross. And now here we are. What are we going to do with it? We need to grow deep roots in the truth. We need to be ready to give answers to whoever asks of what we believe and what our hope is. And we need to stay grounded in the Word of God and always meditating on it. I can say I've never done that. Constantly meditated on the Word of God. Imagine how our lives would change. Imagine how deep our roots would grow if that's all we did. Is meditating on the Word of God. Wouldn't that be something? I challenge myself and I challenge you tonight to do that. Try it. Just for one day. And see what God can do in our lives. Let's be the tree of life and let's stay where God planted us. He's got a purpose for you right there. And you don't know who you're going to be lifting up to salvation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for the Word of God and the truth that's in it. Lord, I